Hello, one and all. It's good to see so many of you smiling faces here this morning. This morning I'll be talking about the topic of the Father's love. What does it look like? We are called children of God. He leaves the 99 for one. He gives us good gifts and he doesn't have favourites. They're the sort of like headings that we could go down. So we've broken the carnal rule of three subheadings, but five. Hey, which is, I don't know if I'm going out there on this one, but I thought I'd try something different. We'll go for five, but we'll shorten them. They won't be long, they'll be shorter. So the father and child relationship is something that Jesus referred to, which does initiate, it does indicate an intimate relationship, doesn't it? And it's something that most can relate to. Most, I say that. But not everyone has had a loving relationship with their father. Not everyone. And so when, you know, I've done it before, I've stood up the front and said about how wonderful the God the Father is, how that we compare to him and his relationship. And actually, someone in the crowd saying, well, actually, my dad didn't like me or he deserted me. It's a tough one. But our God in heaven is big. And he's not like the Father on earth. That's what I want to say. He is different. He does love us. But I will... And that is the way I'm trying to head today. We don't live in that perfect world, do we? We really don't. I plan to share some scripture about what God the Father says about us and himself. So the first point I want to look at is, what does God the Father's love look like? When I thought about this, I thought there's only one verse I can go to. I know it seems to be my go-to verse though, and I do sort of like speak a bit on this one a bit, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This verse wraps up for me the depth of the love of God and what it looks like. Many people have varying views on creation, don't we? Not just in church, I mean outside. As I shared before, my view is weird on creation, how it was created. But many have different views on creation, how, why and how that we are here. Some are abstract and others will come across as more, a bit more logical. But the truth is, this is the truth, we are made in God's image. Genesis 1:27, both male and female, in God's image. And then you can read the rest of Genesis and you see that the narrative unfold, that we had the fall. We had the eternal separation. We had the rift between us and God. And the divide, which now means that we are all born sinners. Apart from God, we are. Because no one is born in a relationship with God. And we can't, as Gary so well did, that's not a word, is it? As Gary did so well last week in explaining, we cannot fix the problem between us and God. And the world we live in, many people have a desire for God and the spiritual. And this is why people seek the spiritual. If you look around, I mean, it was only last month, there was a psychic fair in the pub. I think it's the Heart or the White Heart on Church Street. They had a psychic. So people are looking for the spiritual. You know, and you met the people I speak to, and last week at work, a lady said to me, "Oh, well, I've done a bit of, I went to see a psychic, and they said I've got the gift." People want the spiritual. She's lovely, but you know, people want the spiritual. The mediums, the tarot cards, all that stuff. And people look for the other faiths as well, don't they, to fill that gap. It's like we need a rule. Sometimes we feel we need a rule to live so that we can have something to aim for. I mean, the Jews had a way, didn't they? Fulfill the Ten Commandments. But it didn't work. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." So Satan knows how to fill the gap. He knows that we are spiritual beings. He knows that. And so there'll be things sent our way. And like bickering amongst different denominations as well, like stirring up, well, that one ain't right because they believe in the Holy Spirit. And it's like he wants to divide us. But the love of God looks like the Father seeing his creation needing him. And so he sent away for us to be in that relationship with him. Is that a good thing? Is that a wow moment? God the Father in heaven saw that we needed him and that we cannot reach him by our own devices, so he sends his son. Is that a wow moment? Amen. It is a wow moment. It's a mind-blowing moment. He loves us that much that he sent his son for us. And that's a truth that changed the world. 12 men, who uneducated men, who, well, you wouldn't have them as an accountant, would you? You wouldn't, would you? You know, one of them sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. The other one was, you know, Matthew. He sort of like diddled the books as a tax collector. You wouldn't want them, but Jesus wanted them. So 12 men changed the world. But it wasn't the men that changed the world. It was the spirit that's in them that changed the world. It's the gift of God poured out on them. And that can change the world today as well. We can have a relationship with the creator of the heavens and earths. I struggle to get my head around things that are big. You know, for instance, we're in a hall, it holds 256 people. I've counted the chairs. Not today, but previously, because I want the Lord to fill these chairs. But that's beside the point. Amen? Yeah. But actually, when I think about it, let's say I was standing here and there was 40,000. Yeah? I can't grasp what that looked like because I would still see just the first few rows. And I find that sometimes with the things of God. I can't grasp how big that God is sometimes. But if I truly did, I would never be the same. And if we truly did, we would never be the same. The creator of heaven and earth loved you that much that he come down to be born as a child, as a baby. He then grew up, ministry, died for your sins so you can have a relationship with God. That is an amazing thing, that we are now in relationship with our God the Father. That blows everything. That means that, and he doesn't say, oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to say 10 Hail Marys, or he says, come follow me. Give everything. And that's a lot to ask, actually. But it's not when you look at what the goodness is. And he hung on that cross, and that is love. Here's a little snippet of the nature of God. saying is God is infinite and self-existing. God is self-sufficient. He's omnipotent, which is all-powerful. He's omnipresent, which is everywhere. He's omniscient. No, I'm not going to be able to say that word. It's up there. Hallelujah. Omniscient. No, I'm not going to. I could say it before. Anyway, I'll go over it. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. And it's this, the nature of who God is. But then you've got the character of God. His holiness. He's righteous. He's never changing. He's faithful. He's good. Do you see that the Father's love for us is in a different category to what that we could possibly understand? He's a holy God and he's righteous. So even if God wanted to ignore, let's say God said, you know what, don't worry about sin, we'll cover it up. We'll try and eradicate that splodge. It's all right, well, don't worry about it, I'll ignore it. He couldn't do it. Because he's holy and righteous. He can't just ignore it. It's who he is. So he sent his son. So we could have a relationship with him. Because God is relational. Amen? He's very relational. And that is love. That is love. He can't ignore. You can't ignore what's going on. He had to do. It's part of who he is. He can't ignore it. But he sent a solution. You know, I love it when. As a manager, one of the things I love is when people come to me. They say, "Chris, this is the problem I have." Right. But then they say, but I've got potentially 3 solutions for you. Well, God, this is a problem, but here's the solution. Believe in my son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for you. So the second point is we're called children of God. See what great love the Father lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. There is an ownership here, and many different scriptures confirm this. But the one I love is Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Amen? The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again, but rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We are children of God. I don't think you got it. We're children of God. Yeah. The God who created the universe. We're children of him. His offspring. And it makes, to be honest, it makes the even more relevant, the next bit, really, the next part of the sermon. But to you are not a mistake. No one here is a mistake. God don't make mistakes. He's sovereign. He does not make mistakes. So you're unique, you're special, you're loved. Not special as in the world will go to someone and say, hey, that person's special. Not like that, but literally, you are special. He gave you one DNA. He loves you. And you're a child of God. You're not a waster. You're not just here to bide your time like, I'll become a Christian and I'll sneak into heaven on the quiet. No. He called you. He predestined that you'd always be a child of God. That gives me goosebumps to know that he pursued me. And this is where we belong. We belong in that Father's embrace. And to be able to say the words Abba Father, which is an intimate term, that means he cares. Are my children in here? Because I don't want to embarrass them. Oh, they are. Oh, well. Someone was telling me, I was listening to a sermon online, and the children had made an agreement with the dad that if he preached and brought them up in the sermon, he'd have to give them money. Well, that's not happening here. Aaron might do it to take the mickey out of me. He's a joker, but not even Aaron calls me daddy. He does, but just to take the mickey out of me. But it's not a term that we would generally use. Like, as we grow up, we say, oh, dad, oh, father. Oh, my old man, as they say. You know, I used to work with my dad over 10, I think, maybe 12 years or so. And when I'd be going to work, it'd be, oh, I've got to say dad. You know, we're whole building site, Burley Builders, like that, and you're like, dad? Dad? Because we had intimacy. Yeah, I know it's a little bit weird on a building site, but yeah, I could call him dad. He's my dad. I'm not ashamed of him. My brother's kind of like, oh, Colin. Since when did you call dad Colin? We have a privilege and a right. He's only got 3 children. We should call him dad. But actually, God says call him daddy. Dabba. I mean, I don't. I know that Francis, you do. But that is intimacy. That's love. I have 2 children. Yes. And I don't have a favourite either. And I love them with every regard. No, it's not. And I love them with every ounce of my body. To those who are parents know this, will know how much we love our children. One may be 19 and the other nearly 16, going on 20. But they actually mean the world to me. I never thought that a child could bring such love. Life just happens, doesn't it? Yeah, I remember when I was a tiny child like there, and all of a sudden I got a 19-year-old son. In the blink of an eye, life has gone. I was transferred from my mum and dad to my wife. Yeah, when I met Susie in 1990. That was the next stage of my life, and you know, with boyfriend and girlfriend a while, we had some experiences, and then we got engaged, and then we got married, and at that point you think, wow, life is brilliant, and all of a sudden along come children and empty pockets. No, but along come children. But you give, don't you, because you want to give. And I can't describe how that all of a sudden this extra love appeared, that I love these children more than life itself. It's a different love, though. But it would mean that I'd do anything for them. Anything that they could have the best start. Anything to make them happy. Anything. I mean, I work 12-hour shifts, 7 days a week at the start of my work. And when I was a young family, I worked a lot of hours to bring in enough money for the children. And Susie, of course. But I'll do anything. I took a job, so I was working nights, so I could watch the children grow up. Because they mean so much to me. And they changed me. They changed me into a better person. He's laughing. Thank you, Johnny. And I would do it again. And again, and again, and then again. Do they understand the sacrifice that I've made? No. Does it matter? No, because I don't want nothing in return. I don't necessarily... Well, actually, I do. I want you to tidy your room. But I don't necessarily want stuff in return. Because you do it because you love. Matthew 6:26 says... Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Romans 5:18. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:31-32. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Won't he also give us everything else? The love that God has for us is like no other. So that love I have for my children is a lot to me. But the love that God the Father has is more. Yeah. How many people on the planet today? Oh, I don't know. 6.5 billion, whatever. And he knows every single one. Not every single one is saved, but he does know his creation. I was standing in Canary Wharf Station. I was waiting for a meeting. I'd got there early, and I was standing there watching the world walk before me. And as I was watching the world, I looked at it and thought, wow, God knows you. God knows you. God knows you. I don't even know you. But God knows. And all these people, all these lives that are... God knows. That's love. Which leads me on to the next point, which is point... He leaves the 99 for one. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that's wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any one of these little ones should perish. Jesus declared the Father's heart for us. He wants to pursue you. There's people out on the outside that don't know Jesus. They don't know the Father in heaven. But it says here that he's willing to pursue. He's willing to leave you lot and go off and pursue the one. Because one matters. You matter and you're one. Because the truth is, as I say, we got ourselves into this mess. I'm not like me, but mankind. We got ourselves into this mess with sin. But God can get us out of that mess. Have a look at these photos. It's a really good story, actually. Look at the size of that sheep. It's a story. It's a good illustration, actually. Meet Chris. Ta-da! Chris the sheep. That's actually his name. This particular one, huge is what it is, was found wandering in the Australian outback. He's a particular breed of sheep as well, that they've been bred, scientifically bred, so they grow more wool. And they just keep growing and growing. I don't know, maybe they sprinkle them with, you know, like with children. All of a sudden they get tall, that dust. But this is Chris, wandering about in the outback he was. And the RSPCA found him. That's a lot of wool, that's a lot of weight on him, and actually he could die. They arranged for a sheep shearer to come and do his thing, shear the sheep. That was him in all his glory, free as a bird, as a sheep in the outback. And there, after his haircut, there is a comparison. We're designed to be with God. When we wander off, we struggle. We don't have that shepherd to keep us well. But when we come to Jesus, when we encounter him, he helps us to shed the things that stop us from being with him, with the Father. He helps, doesn't he? Things that aren't good for us. Chris is alive and well, as far as I know. He had a record amount of wool. It's actually a world record, I believe, in Australia, definitely. And none of the wool was usable because it got too long. But yeah, God will pursue the one. But God always gives good gifts, doesn't he? That's the fourth point. God gives good gifts. Which of you, if you ask for bread, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This particular scripture is a bit bigger in that context. It's related to Jesus saying, ask and it will be given. As children of God, we have access to the Father. And his gifts are amazing. Actually, the access is key. Have a look at this little clip.
Lost both his father and his brother in the fighting. He needed to return to his family's home and help his sister, an elderly mother, with the spring planting on their farm. And so he went to Washington, D.C. to ask the president for exemption from military service. When he arrived in Washington, he walked straight up to the doors of the White House and asked to speak directly with the president. A young official standing guard told him, "You can't see the president. The president's far too busy to see you. Get back out there and fight like you're supposed to." So the young soldier left the White House, not knowing how he would break the bad news to his family. As he was sitting on a nearby park bench, a young boy came up to him and said, "Why are you so unhappy? What's wrong?" The soldier looked at the boy and began to pour out his heart. He told the child that since his father and brother had been killed, he was the only man left in his family. He was desperately needed back at the farm, and the only person who could make it possible was the president himself. The little boy said simply, "Come with me." Taking him by the hand, the boy led the soldier back around to the White House. They walked through the back door, past the guards, past the generals, past the high-ranking government officials, until they got to the president's office. The little boy didn't even knock on the door. He just opened it and walked in. There, standing behind the desk, studying battle plans with the Secretary of State, was President Abraham Lincoln. The president looked up and said, "Oh, what can I do for you, Tad?" The little boy replied, "Dad, this man needs to talk to you."
Our Father.
That's a little clip from the Alpha Course. When they have the week on prayer. They're talking about the access to the Father. The normal ways would be like that, banging on the door. But we have access to the Father. Aaron, you have access to the Father, to me, yeah? Giving me funny looks. And As I say, ordinarily we don't have no access, but because of Jesus, believing in Jesus, we do have access. And he wants to hear your prayers. Not last week, the week before, Amanda come up here and she shared about about Luke. Yeah, about Luke's mum. This big, big answer to prayer. Right, on the same week, Carol come up and she shared about the fact that little one wanted to use a toilet and prayed for a parking space so they could come straight in. And she got a parking space. You had huge prayer, small prayer. But God cares about both prayers. Yeah, part of access is that we can ask the small prayer, we can ask the big prayer. As life goes, some of the big prayers take longer to get answers. We've been praying for a long time for some things, but other prayers are answered instantly, aren't they? It's all part of the access. I believe that God answers prayers. I think I've seen the impossible happen, the mundane happen. And it's part of God's nature and the character of his relationship that he may know what we want before we ask, but he wants that relationship. He wants that relational conversation with us so that we do ask. That's a question that comes up. If God knows all the what we're praying, why do we bother praying? Well, the simple reason, because he wants to hear it. He wants to listen. He wants to talk, interact with us. He wants us to have the belief, to believe him, that he will answer. Final point, promise. Acts. Acts. It's gone. Right, so Acts 10 verse 34 says, and Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favouritism. In every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. God loves all his children, but with an equality. I personally struggled with them two verses for two reasons. I used to. One, it didn't seem fair. God has no favourites. If God has no favourites, yeah, what's the point of me going above and beyond? As I say, used to, a long time ago. Yeah, because we can get all religious, can't we? I did for a period of time. Get all religious and try and earn your way to heaven. But it doesn't work. It's God's grace. And when we grasp grace, that's what changed my view. The fact that what we have is not earned, it's given. And we just receive. So you cannot earn special favour by being more religious, but only that we're called to follow him with every ounce of our being. Matthew 23:22 says, and Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Just as God loves... grace. All it asked for in return is to love God with all your heart, body and soul. Which means, and then, to love your neighbour as yourself. Which means that we shouldn't have any favourites either. You know, if someone who poor comes in off the street, then they should be treated the same as a brother or sister who we go and see all the time. Grace. We didn't deserve it, but we got it for those who accept it. So I just want to conclude. There is a bit of a theme going through, I thought anyway. We don't need a response. OK? Okay? This isn't one of them sort of talks. It doesn't need a response. Other than to rejoice in the fact that we're children of God. And this overflows into the every ounce of who we are. So if you want some of that, you can have prayer. But actually, we've got a song coming up. Just going to read this. Because the theme that I thought went come through was the fact that Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. He's taken us. That Father's love has taken us from a place which you could say sticky, dirty mud. Like the image of picking up, putting on a rock, Jesus Christ. That is love. I just pray while the band come up. Heavenly Father, just thank you for love. Lord, I thank you that your love covers a multitude of sins. It covers so much. Lord, that you've given us grace. But most of all, Lord, how much you love us. Lord, the fact that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. So I just want to praise you as we finish. I just want to praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.